Welcome back to the Cricket Stats Scholar podcast. This is episode 6, looking at the Australian bowling battery. The date is the 23rd of December, and with me as always is Guy Walker. Welcome back, mate.
Thanks, Dane. Thanks for having me, mate. It's awesome to be back, and let's get into the bowling that actually wins games. Bowlers, you need bowlers over batters, don't you?
100%, especially these types of bowlers. So with that in mind, I've broken this up into quite specific sections. I'm just going to get a little bit of your opinion on each section as we move through. So yep, the first section we're going to look at is recent form. So we touched upon this in episode 4. Kamo's last 13 tests, 70 wickets at 17.55, going at 2.57 and over, a wicket every 40.8 balls. Hazelwood's last 7 tests, 34 wickets at 17.97, economy 2.64, strike rate 40.7, so beating Kamo by 0.1 there. Lino's last 7 tests, 32 poles, 23.18 runs per wicket, a tick under 3 and over, and a wicket every 47 balls as a spinner. And then finally, last but not least, Starkey's last 8 tests, 47 wickets, so almost 6 a test, at the ridiculous average of 16.85, going a tick over 3 and over as he does. And here we go, a wicket every 33.4 balls. All right, mate. I mean, just first thoughts on that, all of that.
Oh, I don't know where to start, mate. Like, it's incredible, just because could you imagine as a batter getting through, let's say Stark and Hazelwood opens a bowling and you get through that and you're struggling to score as it is, and then Paddy Cummins comes on at one end and Nathan Lyon comes on at the other end, and then you get through them two, and then you get either a Stark or a Hazelwood freshened up and they're coming back into the attack. Like, the only way you get a little bit of respite is by actually getting through all of them, and then you've probably got to face a Cameron Green who comes in and bowls 145 as well. So what are you supposed to do?
It's ridiculous. And that's the new normal we're moving into. I have this recurring nightmare, not every night, but where I'm driving down a highway and there's no guardrail between my lane and the other coming in the other way. And it's just endless stream of trucks driving past. And that's what it must feel like as a batsman to be facing. You're like, all right, finally, I've gotten through that truck. Oh, good. There's another one. Oh, that's the same one, but it's back. It's just this endless loop of madness.
And the strike rates really, are amazing, aren't they?
Yeah. It's nuts. I mean, we're looking at, you know, Joel Garner, one of the best ODI bowlers, well, one of the best bowlers in history, his one-day strike rate's around 40. And that's 10 over match. And he was an absolute weapon. We're looking at, we'll just round them up. So Cummins, 41 balls a wicket. That's less than 7 over. Hazelwood, 41. Same deal. Lyon, 47. Less than 8 overs. Starkey, 33. That's 5.5 overs, and he's taking a pole. And it's 47 wickets. And in that time, he's going to 16.8 runs. It's just madness. And that speaks to, you know, we spoke of Payne's plumped up win-loss ratio.
These boys, it helps, doesn't it?
Mega, haven't they? Massive.
It is, mate.
So sort of extrapolating and expanding upon that, so longer runs of form, because it's all well and good to... I got accused of cherry-picking the other day, which was interesting, but I kind of explained, look, I understand what you're saying, but these are actually just the last X amount of tests. If I was cherry-picking, I would omit certain series or performances in order to push an agenda, but this is just numbers. So longer runs of form. So Cummins' last 23 tests, which is 74% of his career, 118 wickets at 19.7, strike rate 43.1. Hazelwood's last 31 tests, so 60% of his career, 119 wickets at 24.8, strike rate 56.8. Lino's last 58 tests, also 60% of his career, 253 wickets at 29.5, and a wicket every 60 balls, 61. And then Starkey's last 44 tests, which is 75% of his career. Let's keep this number in mind. The last three quarters of Stark's career, 203 wickets at 24.7 and a wicket every 44.7 balls. So, again, this has been going on for a while now.
It is just, it's just incredible, isn't it? Like, that's just amazing numbers, and it just sums up why they're probably the best in the world, mate. Like, it's just, as an opposition side, how on earth do you face that?
Absolutely. I mean, Graham Swan is, rightly so, very well remembered as a superb off spinner, and his bowling average was 29.96 or something when he bailed, and Lino's last 200, and he had about 255 wickets or something from memory, and Lino's last 253 wickets are at 29.5, so actually slightly better insofar as average than Swan. So I mean, he, you know, that's a, and that's 58 tests, that's someone's career, isn't it?
Exactly. And the thing is, like we've touched upon as well, is that a lot of his test matches are played in Australia on places like Adelaide Oval, where there's not a hell of a lot of spin, there's not a hell of a lot of bounce, and he plays that role almost as well, where he's very sacrificial because he actually plays sometimes that role of bowling a little bit defensive just so they stop conceding runs and they let Hazelwood, Stark and Cummins attack from the other end. So if he really tried to get hungry and take a lot more wickets, I think his career averages and strike rates would be even better than that, and they're amazing as it is right now.
Well said. I think you're absolutely right. And in fact, I'll just quickly expand upon your excellent point there. So 49 home tests, 192 wickets as an off spinner in Australia at 32.1, going at 2.9 and 8 and over, and a wicket every 64.6 delivery, so under 11 overs. And then away plus neutral, 48 tests, so 49 at home, 48 outside of Australia, 199 wickets at 31.2, so he's slightly better away. So, sorry, 31.3. He's slightly better away, which is incredible considering, you know, most people perform better at home. It's just a simple, it's not even a discredit, it's just a fact. But, again, he's never going to be at the same caliber as Shane Warne, but who is?
Exactly. And what an amazing job he's done. And I'd like to see his record if he played every second series in India.
Yeah. Or if we played some of the lesser teams more often.
Yep. Definitely.
You know, primarily, we play, you know, he's played 97 tests, 23 against England, 19 against India, and 15 against South Africa. So that's 59 out of his 97. So that's 60% of his games against the top three nations. So, you know, that's all a factor. And then we haven't even talked about Cummins, Hazelwood and Stark. Like Starkey bowling sub 25 for his last 200 wickets, that's got to make some people stand up and realize that there are issues with him. They're not unfounded. He has bad days, and he has bad – and like Cummins never seems to, not in the same way because they're different bowlers. But tell me one nation that is – if I said to him, all right, this dude's going to play 44 tests. He bowls between 140 and 154 K an hour. And he's going to give you 203 poles at 24.7, a wicket every 44, 45 balls. Do you want him? Who's going to say no?
It's funny, isn't it? Like how he has one bad day and the media are out to get him, aren't they? It's just, it's hilarious, isn't it? And like we spoke about it before, is that when Mitchell Stark is on, he's probably the best bowler in the world. There's not many bowlers that bowl 150 kilometres an hour that swing the ball late back into a right-handed bowler batter. Yeah. And like that's just freakish. And sometimes he'll be in a flat one and he won't bowl consistently and he'll go for runs and everyone's off him. Like, look at them stats. And look at his strike rate. He's taken a wicket every 44 balls. Like, that's amazing. That's an incredible record.
That's over 200, the span of 200 wickets. Sub 25, which is world class. And then Hazelwood going at 119 wickets at 24.8. He's going at 2.6 and over, striking every 57 balls. which is mental, like absolutely incredible. And then Cummins, 118 wickets in his last 23 tests, so more than five poles a game, at under 20, taking a wicket every 43 balls, so even crazier than Stark. These are good times.
Mate, it is, isn't it? And I'm really, really curious to see how long Cummins will go for, because I'm hoping that his career goes for a little bit longer, because he spent so much time with injury. I'm hoping that his body may be more resilient than most quicks at the end of their career, because he looks fit as a fiddle. So could you imagine if he's leading the attack? And the other thing we haven't spoken about yet is that look at some of the bowlers that we've got to come in. Like Jimmy Pattinson's waiting on the sidelines. He can't get a run. We've got people like Jai Richardson ready to go. And it's just, fast bowling wise, Australia is just in an amazing spot.
Absolutely. Because you've got Jai Richardson, who looks irresistible because he's young, he's fresh, he can bat, he's fast as hell.
And,
and he's performed. Like, Jimmy Pattinson's only 30 years old, well, 234 days, so he's 31 in May next year. And he's sitting on the sidelines with 81 test wickets at 26, taking a wicket every 49 balls.
And hopefully with Jimmy as well, hopefully because he's had so many injuries as well, he's a bit like Paddy Cummins and can have some bit more longevity within his test career, and I think he can. I think he started to come good now with his body, he's a bit more resilient. So, geez, the fast bowling ranks. Imagine if one of Stark, Cummins or Hazelwood goes down and then the Indian team go, yes, that's perfect, and then we bring in Jimmy Pattinson. Like, it's not the greatest thought for them.
Because he's fast as well.
Yep, and in your face.
Holds a batting average of 26 just quietly. And then, Jai Richardson and even Michael Nessa, he's had a meteoric last 3 or 4 years with the ball and very handy bat as well. So the stocks are great. It's funny you actually touch upon longevity and potential for Cummo and Pattinson because of their injury. So just quickly on the ages. So Cummins turns 28 in May next year. Hazelwood turns 30. On the 8th of January next year. Lyon turns 33 in November this year, and Starkey turns 31 on the 30th of January next year. So theoretically, I mean, they might have another, well, you'd say at least 4 years together. Starkey will be 35 in 4 years. Imagine what they can do in four more years of this.
Exactly. And then Nathan Lyon, he'll go around to mid to late 30s as well because he's an off-spinner. Yeah, and so, the only way that they're... And the best thing about that whole facet is that the only way these blokes actually are going to be out of the team is if another quick forces them out, and you might get a Jai Richardson coming in and forcing one of these blokes out. So there's some really, really good selection headaches coming up in the next 3 or 4 years.
Because if Jai Richardson or Nessa or Paddo are bowling well enough to knock out one of those three titans in Cummo, Hazelwood and Stark, then they deserve the spot, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with the numbers we've rattled off. All right, so change of gears here. And this was by happenstance, but it might surprise some listeners to hear that Cummins, Stark, Hazelwood and Lyon have only played 16 tests where all four of them were present. And I'm going to rattle off some numbers for you of theirs in those 16 tests. But before that, the combination of Warne, McGrath, Gillespie and Lee also happened to play 16 tests together. So it's a perfect opportunity to compare our current crop with, what would you say of those Warne, McGrath, Gillespie and Lee? Like, they're living legends of the game, aren't they?
Absolutely. Like, probably that era of Australian cricket, is that people reel off their names still?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's something to love in each. I mean, Shane Warne, well, it's between him and Murali, best spinner in history. McGrath, I mean, I've done a a post about my Magnificent Seven. He's one of them, best fastballs ever. Dizzy Gillespie, an absolute cult hero, top man, legend, double centurion, all 26 in an era where we sort of took that for granted. And then Brett Lee, you know, for all the decoration his career has had in a top man as well. So these are highly decorated people, and the results that I'll churn out shortly might surprise a few. So back to our current crop. In the 16 tests together, Starkey's taken 78 at 24, a wicket every 45 balls. Cummo, 71 at 23.6, a wicket every 52 balls. Hazelwood, 66 at 23.5, a wicket every 52 balls like Cummo. And Lino, also 66 with Haz at 31.7, a wicket every 72 balls, but going for just 2.6 and over as spinner. And that touches on exactly what you were getting at before. He surrenders some of his more attacking instincts in order to control an end and allow the whippets to sort of cycle through at the other end in 2-3 over bursts. And still 66 wickets at under 32, you're taking that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that it comes back to that point, doesn't it? You watching the Boxing Day test as well, is that in Australia's first bowling innings, that Nathan Lyon bowled 15 overs, one for 30 or one for 40, but because he's tying up an end, they'll take him for 2 or 3 singles. He's not probably trying to look for wickets like he is in the second inning. So I think you have to look at that strike rate and that average as a bit of a more of a chop out to the quicks.
Absolutely, mate. It's a role. And there's a reason he's
exactly
teams for victories, and there's been a hell of a lot of them lately. And it's because of that sort of team centric, selfless attitude of his. So all of those numbers I rattled off—that's a total of 281 wickets for the four of them in those 16 tests at 17.6 wickets a test. So they're nearly knocking over a whole side every time.
Wow.
At 25.7 runs a wicket, 2.8 and over, and a wicket every 55 balls.
That's pretty phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. And then within that, just for the nerds, of the three paces in those 16 tests, 215 wickets at 23.9, 2.9 and over, and a wicket every 49 deliveries, which is just mental. Like, that's phenomenal.
Yep, mate, it is, isn't it? I think it's a credit, isn't it, to the bowling stocks we've got. And just, it's a credit to them, because at the end of the day, they're, like we've said before, is they're playing on some flat wickets, and they're playing majority of their test matches against the world's best teams. And we play a lot against England, we play a lot against India, and we play a little bit against South Africa as well. So it's not like we're knocking over Bangladesh every second test match.
No, that's right. And I think it's roughly reasonable to assume that 60% of Australian tests are played against one of the big three that's not us: India, England, and South Africa. So if you're bowling at 60% of your opposition is them, and you're pulling these kinds of numbers, ridiculous. So I split this up a little bit. Of those 16 tests, 12 were at home, and the numbers there are pretty frightful, but then they're pretty good away as well. So really quickly this time. So of the 12 home tests that this quadrant have played, I don't think that's the right term, but this four-man attack, 12 tests, 62 for Stark at 22, a wicket every 42 balls. Cummins, 51 wickets at 24.4, a wicket every 54 balls. Hazelwood, 48 wickets at 23.4, a wicket every 52 balls. Lino, 53 wickets at 29.6, so that beautiful sub 30. Wicket every 68 balls, we've spoken about that, to create a total of 214 wickets in 12 tests at 24.8, and a wicket every 54 balls, we'll say. And then we go away, 4 tests. Starkey, 16 at 33.7, a wicket every 55 balls. Cummins, 20 at 21.7, a wicket every 47. Hazelwood, 18 at 24, a wicket at every 52. And Lino, 13 at 40, and a wicket every 90 deliveries. And I suppose, given how good the paces are, Stark a little bit more wayward, but that's that lion role again, that holding role. And that gives us 67 wickets at 28.8 away, a wicket every 59 balls, and going for 2.95 and over. So obviously better at home, but, I mean, not many people aren't. And what do you make first of that home? I mean, it really is starting to become something that must creep into the opposition's minds, especially the batsmen.
Yeah, especially when we get to the Brisbanes and the Perths, where these blokes that are bowling 140, like, it's just electrified by how quick and how bouncy those wickets are. So I think they can be very, very dominant at home. And so even I think what's so impressive about these four is that even when we do get a flat wicket, is that they're so relentless at that pace, they're not actually giving much away. Sometimes Stark does a little bit, but that's it. Like, there's just nothing. There's no relentlessness from them as bowlers trying to search wickets or anything. They just all play their role, and they're just so amazing at it that people just or teams just don't want to play against them, and they don't, especially at home.
Oh, spot on. And I look forward to, you know, we spoke maybe this four-man attack with Stark turning 31 in late January next month, and the speed at which he bowls. He might get another 4 years, though, beyond his 31st birthday. So in 4 years, we'll probably play another 40 tests. Imagine if they all play together, they'll have roughly 20 more tests home and away, and they'll have a total of maybe 56 tests together. If they manage to hold on for most of that due to the fact they're still all performing, the numbers are going to be off the charts. They'll be unprecedented.
Yep, matey, I know. And then the other thing to think about as well is that what they're doing with Stark now, which might give him longevity, is that they bowl him more in shorter spells. So they bowl him in a three or four over spell. He just bowls fast, tries to swing the ball, and then he's off. So he's probably not bowling as many strenuous overs. And then you throw in when Cam Green can actually bowl without restrictions, and then you've got, if it's a really long day, it's a hot day and they're struggling or whatever, and you throw the ball to a bloke that bowls 140, when he starts to get it right, when he gets a little bit older, like, it's just scary to think about.
Well, it's just ridiculous, man, because it's like the Cam Green phenomenon is largely down to his batting at the moment. Some people might not even know that he cemented himself as a bowler, because he's bowling at 19 when he was 19 in Shield. But yeah, it's not only the fact that he's good as a bowler, it's the fact that he's good and 200 centimetres tall or 198.
Yeah, certainly helps.
And yeah, like you said, 140K, that, you know, that's four blokes in the bowling attack that are all 6.5 foot, all capable of pushing north of 140, and that's just not fun.
It's scary to think about.
Ridiculous. Your reward for blunting the main four is that Cam Green comes on and starts slinging them at you. Where's the reward in that?
Oh, mate, there isn't any. And yeah, I'm just looking now. These stats from the next four of our amazing era, this is incredible.
It's incredible. So, well, let's get into it. I mean, so now we'll look at Warney, McGrath, Gillespie and Lee. And
our pinnacle.
Pinnacle stuff. Like, these are legends. These are living legends. So in the 16 tests they played together, Warney, 89 wickets in 16 tests at 24.4, going at under 3 and over, a wicket every 48 balls. Ridiculous, just God mode. McGravy, 77 wickets at 21 flat, 2.57 and over, because he's mean.
Shock me.
Yeah, exactly. A wicket every 49 balls, just lunacy. And then now, Dizzy, 47 wickets at 36.5, which is a little bit rude, 3.3 and over, and a wicket every 11 overs, so 66 balls. And then Binger, 52 poles at 36.6, which is even slightly north of Dizzy, going at a tick under four and over 3.95 and a wicket every 55 balls, which is his way, giving us a total of 265 wickets at 27.9, 3.15 and over, so less pressure, in an era where scoring rates were slower, and a wicket every 53 balls. Let's just go back ever so quickly. So the 16 versus 16. The legends, the old boys, 265 wickets at 27.9. The new school, 281 at 25.7. So they beat them there by 2.2 runs. The old boys, 3.15 and over. The new boys, 2.8. And then the strike rates are basically the same. The old boys, 53 balls. The new boys, 55.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because you look at the old boys, you look at Warne, McGrath, Gillespie, Lee, and straight away you think of absolute pinnacle of Australian team at the time, and one of the best Australian teams ever. You think of them, and they're rock stars. You got all of them are in the media, or all of them are coaches, and that be your names. And I don't. Yeah. Even though I think you've got to obviously take it with a pinch of salt because it's 16 test matches, but
yeah, of course.
The way, like, if you actually look at our bowling attack now, is it going to be one of them that people don't appreciate it until it's actually finished and they look back? Awesome. Or are we just not giving enough credit to them? Because they are some phenomenal skills, stats, and then against our best four probably bowlers of a lifetime at the start of the 2000s.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, Stark is still much maligned in certain vocal sections of the Australian cricketing public, from what I can gather.
Yeah.
Hazelwood's won a lot of favour lately, and rightly so. 200 bowls, bowl beautifully. Cummins is the darling right now, and everyone loves the goat. But I think they're well-liked players, and they're known to be good, but I think as time goes by, the numbers, especially if they can hold this kind of craziness for another 4 years, surely they retire legends. Because you know, they've trumped their numbers. Like you said, it's only 16 tests. It was just interesting that they both ended up, like, the current crop and those four big names both happen to be 16. So what a perfect time to compare. But yeah, I mean, Jason Gillespie bowled at 36 in this sample, and he bowled at 26 in his overall career. Binger bowled at 31 in his total career and bowled at 36 here. So these aren't the best of them at the time, but at the time they were automatic selections. So it's not like this is cherry picked. This is just a direct comparative. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, This is shocking. This is quite interesting. But I suppose one thing I wanted to delve into a little bit was the home and away stuff. So for home, there wasn't a lot of tests in this set. So Warne took 17 wickets at 41. McGrath 15 at 32, and that's off the back of a bad series we played against New Zealand in 2001 and 02. We drew the three-match series 3-0, nil all. It was a crazy time. And then Dizzy 16 at 29.6, Brett Lee 21 at 29. So they actually took a total of 69 home wickets at 33, with a wicket every 68 balls. Then you go away and things get crazy in the way you'd expect. So Warne 61 at 21. McGrath 58 at 18, which is just nuts. And then Gillespie 28 at 40 and Brett Lee 29 at 40. And then there were some neutral games, which they basically took 20 wickets in like four tests at 24. But this one, they played more away tests and they played better away except for Dizzy and Brett Lee. But yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm driving at and what we're talking about is these dudes are all – our current crop are already in lofty company and on the balance of numbers, you know, for whatever the numbers are worth without context and whatever. Their numbers are superior.
I know, mate. I'm blown away by them stats. And when I was starting to read them, I just thought, wow, like – Yeah. Look at these blokes. They're absolutely, like, and rightly so, that they're amazing bowlers of Australian history. But, yeah, are we giving enough credit to the current crop we've got and how lucky we are to have them? And I think it just shows you, doesn't it, that we've knocked over an Indian side for 36 with the best batter in the world and probably one of the best batters of all time at the end of his career, Virat Kohli.
Mate, absolutely. And look, I want to expand upon, because that's a great point and that's a great indicator. Admittedly, that was pretty freakish and that was beyond anyone's wildest dreams. But, you know, so the top six for India in that match, five of them stepped into the match with averages north of 40, and Vihari, the one who didn't get to 40, it was at like 36.8. And then you have Saha batting at 7, averaging 30 with 3 test hundreds. And then Ashwood batting at 8 with 4 test hundreds and an average of 28. And then of those five dudes in the top six averaging north of 40, three of those five stepped into the match with averages north of 50, being Agarwal, Shaw, and Kohli. So, and then you've got the other two averaging 40, Vihari a tick under 40. That was not a weak lineup, and it wasn't a horrible deck. It's the Adelaide Oval.
Yeah. One of the flattest wickets in Australia, and that's, and I keep hearing people talk, especially I keep hearing some of my Indian friends say how badly they batted, but I'm certain that looking at their shots, other than probably Virat, is that a lot of them nicked off to good balls, and it was just phenomenal bowling. Like, what can you? Sometimes you get a good one, and most of them are nicking balls to Tim Payne. So it's not like they're playing a flashy drive outside off stump that they're trying to hit for four.
These deliveries were so good and so unrelenting that they were defeating the basic forward defense of, you know, some of India's most beloved and decorated and capable test cricketers in the last, you know, 10, 15 years, because the deliveries were that good. And the pitch, you know, the average for the test was 17.6 runs per wicket. But, I mean, you know, as Payne showed, if you bat it a certain way, the gremlins disappeared. He had a little bit of luck. He was dropped by Saha early on. But he showed the way to play, and that's how they played in Australia, played in the second innings. But it was just ransacked. It was an absolute hiding, and it was just top bowling. And I think, well, it's better than our wildest dreams, but yeah, I think that sums up where this four-man battery is at and where they might continue to go.
Yep, I agree, mate. It's going to be, and that's why I think it's just going to be so special on Boxing Day to see how India fight back and see if it was a fluke, or see if the Aussies are that dominant over them. So it's going to be an amazing test match to watch. And I think the Australian team now, I think it's such a good culture, a good team, and just full of blokes that know their role and know their games at the moment. So other than probably a couple of lineup in the batting issues, but at the same time, that's because Warner's injured and we probably got Will Bukowski coming in, who deserves his chance. So it's exciting, and I can't wait, mate, until Boxing Day. It's going to be a beautiful day in Melbourne, and what else more could you want?
Cool. Not much more you can ask for there, mate, especially with the form we have coming in. And I think we'll leave it there, because we've explored the pace battery to great length there. So three more days at the time of recording this. And, you know, I'll be counting the seconds, mate, and look forward to the cricket. I hope India come out with a counter-attacking, aggressive mindset and give us a huge run for our money. I want a five-day test that we sneak home in the last hour, please and thanks. That'll be all for you, Santa. And let's hope we see some excellent cricket from both sides, and we see the real India, even without Kohli and Shami.
Yep, I could not agree any more, mate. And I think your stats are quite incredible. And to delve in and actually get some of these stats that just sort of are very hard hitting has been awesome for me to see as well. And I'm definitely looking forward to the first Boxing Day test, and of that that we're back. We're back open in Melbourne. There's no more COVID. So it's going to be a crowd there as well. So it's just going to be really good atmosphere and a great day. And hopefully we're, like you said, mate, hopefully we're in for 5 days of good cricket in Australia. Australia just get over the edge.
Cannot wait, mate. All right. Well, we'll pick up again here soon. And thanks for tuning in. And as ever, Guy, thanks so much for your time and insight, mate. It's invaluable. And we'll see you on the next one.
Absolute pleasure, mate. I'll speak to you soon.